Hey, good afternoon. How many of you have enjoyed today so far? Amen. It's very encouraging, and enjoyed our time with you so far. But we need to pray now and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts one more time this afternoon. To have your Bibles, please turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. And we're going to read verse 35 to 38. And the theme of our message this afternoon is Jesus' prayer request. Let's read from verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And my desire is to challenge you this afternoon about the great need of the harvest field. Let's bow for prayer. Dear gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, and we thank you, Lord, for what has been accomplished already in our hearts this day. Lord, I thank you for the testimony we've just heard and your dealings in the life of a young man. And Lord, we just see what potential there is in this one room, Lord, if the young men and women here would get on fire for God. Lord, what an impact that would have in this nation. Lord, we pray that you would meet with us again. We need your help for this session. Lord, that you would stir our hearts afresh. And Lord, that you would have your will and way now in every heart. We pray that there might be some young men who would hear the call today to the ministry. Lord, may you put your hand upon some this day. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We have before us what is really the only specific prayer request from the lips of our Lord Jesus during his earthly ministry. Now, our Lord Jesus taught much about prayer. For example, you can read Luke chapter 11, and there is extensive teaching there from the lips of our Saviour. But this is the only direct request or direct the direct request of the Lord Jesus for a specific prayer point. And what this does is gives us a window into the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ and what is so important to him. And one thing you will find written in the Word of God is that when you begin to get close to the heart of God, you will find that missions is the heartbeat of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself was a gospel preacher. We've just read about that in verse 35. He went round the cities teaching and preaching the gospel. Verse 35. It was the theme of the gospel that really dominated the ministry of our Lord Jesus. Well, this afternoon I'd like us to look at three lessons from our text. And I'd like you to notice firstly in verse 36 what I would describe as the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were two things that really moved our heart, our Lord Jesus' heart, in compassion. The first thing that moved the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ was when he saw the multitudes. It was the sight of the people that moved his heart. The Lord Jesus Christ's heart was moved when he looked upon these people who were so in need of the gospel, so in need of salvation. And there are at least 9 references in the gospel to the fact that our Lord Jesus had compassion for sinners. Aren't you thankful this afternoon that our Lord Jesus Christ loves sinners? That's why you and I can be here this afternoon, because the Lord Jesus loves sinners. But it was as the Lord Jesus looked at the people that his heart was moved, his heart was stirred. And you know, this word saw, it's very interesting. It means, it comes from the word that's often translated in the New Testament, to know. What this means is that the Lord Jesus was not just carelessly glancing across the multitudes. He was looking intently at them. He was allowing the sight of the people to move his heart. Do you see people like the Lord Jesus sees them? Oh, hundreds of people go past you every day. You glance across them, but do you have eyes like the Lord Jesus to stop and look at people who are without Christ, people who are on their way to hell, and would you allow that to move your heart with compassion for the lost? If there's something we need this afternoon, it's a fresh compassion for the lost that are on their way to hell. May I just say, as a testimony from coming here, there have been times when I've been out walking through some of these markets and I have literally choked up with tears just at the sight of so many people who need Christ in your nation. I stood with Brother Emmanuel witnessing to people and felt choked up with tears thinking about the need. There are so many people in this nation, so many millions of people who are lost and dying on the way to hell. They need Christ. If there's something we need this afternoon, it's a compassion for the lost. This is the heart of God. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." Listen to these words: "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." 2 Peter 3:9. You know, we have some very powerful examples other than the Lord Jesus in the Bible, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament, of what it means to have compassion. In the Old Testament, we have the example of Moses in Exodus 32, after the people of God had sinned, and Moses said that he was willing to even have his name blotted out of God's book if it meant that the people of God could be forgiven. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul testified in Romans 9 that he was willing, he said he wished that he could be a curse from Christ for his brethren, his kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul was so burdened for his people, the people of Israel, he said if it was possible, he was willing to go to hell if it meant they could be saved. Now this was not possible, of course, but Paul said that this was his heart. His heart was so burdened for his own people, the people of Israel, and he was so broken-hearted over their blindness. He said, Lord, I wish I could be a curse. I wish I could go to hell, even if that meant that my people could be saved. I don't believe for one minute that any of us really know a compassion quite like that, to say I would be willing, if it was possible, to even forfeit heaven if it meant that my people could be saved. But what we need this afternoon is a compassion like the Lord Jesus, that we would not just see people passing us by day, that we would see that these are souls on their way to hell without Christ. Do you have a compassion for your unsaved family? Do you have a compassion for your unsaved friends at school? Do you have a compassion for your nation? Do you have a compassion for your neighboring nations? Do you have a compassion for the great continent of Africa? Do you have a compassion for the souls of the world? The reason why so many of us do so little in the area of witness, the reason why many of us do not go soul winning, is because we have no compassion. We have hearts that are hard and stony and cold towards the lost. But may God give us this afternoon that we might have eyes like the Lord Jesus, that we would see sinners as He sees them. There's a song we used to hear on when we were children, and our parents had it on a tape. And some of the words went like this, said, let me see this world, dear Lord, as though I were looking through your eyes. And the song went on, said, for if once I could see this world the way you see, I just know I'd serve you more faithfully. Is that not true? Will we not serve the Lord Jesus more faithfully if just once we could see sinners the way He sees them? Listen, we don't believe in this theology that says that God has pre-selected some for hell and some for heaven. We don't believe in this theology that says that Jesus didn't die for the sins of all men. Listen, I'm here to tell you that God is not willing that any should perish. God will have all men to be saved. God wants the souls of men to be saved. And so our Lord Jesus was moved with compassion at the sight of the people. But there was a second thing that moved him. It was the plight of the people. Look back at verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because, here's the reason, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And is that not a picture of the masses of humanity as we look around us? They are like wandering sheep with no shepherd, no direction.
And I hear you jump when you've been saying,
you think about sheep. Sheep are some of the most weak and vulnerable creatures in the world. They're so easily preyed upon, so easily damaged, so easily destroyed.
And now when I say, when
we have very, very large sheep farms in Australia. Australia produces a huge amount of wool and exports it all over the world.
Now,
and my father-in-law is actually, has been all his life, or most of his life, involved in the wool trade. And you know, all it takes to kill one sheep is one small fly. That one small fly can come and lay its eggs in the sheep's wool. They grow, begin to eat into the sheep's flesh, and the sheep quickly, the sheep very quickly become infected and die if the farmer doesn't rescue them. And you know, the Lord Jesus looked upon the people, the unsaved masses, as sheep. They were so vulnerable, so easily damaged, so easily destroyed. They were sheep that had no shepherd. Yes, in Israel there were those who claimed to be shepherds, but they were false shepherds. They were corrupt men who would lead God's people astray and would destroy them. And is not your heart stirred when you go down the street and you see all these false prophets? They call themselves prophets and apostles and whatever else, archangels or whatever they say. What's this guy who says he's the Messiah of Ghana and of the world?
Rabbi.
Hey?
Rabbi.
Rabbi. And people, doesn't it break your heart that people, as sheep without a shepherd, are following these false shepherds, these false prophets that are going to tear them to pieces?
And we have to show that if we are going there, as often as you go, what we are smart for, if you know that what we want to work with, you are seeing the Ghana. And we have to show that the Muko Pina walk on the room, what to own, Panta Panta.
Would to God, God would fill you with such compassion this afternoon that you would go and tell them the truth. Oh, how we need it. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight, this afternoon, if God would put his hand on some young men and there'd be some young men who'd say, Pastor, by God's grace, I'm prepared to surrender to the ministry, to be a preacher of the gospel. My nation needs preachers of the truth, preachers of the gospel. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there's some young ladies who, instead of chasing all the popular boys with all the money, said, God, I'm prepared to be a missionary's wife. I'm prepared to be a pastor's wife. I'm not interested in money. I want to live my life to reach souls in my nation. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there's some young men here this morning who would at least least give God the chance, give God the opportunity in their lives. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm called. Well, for please, would you just today, would you volunteer, would you surrender and say, God, I'm willing if you would want me to. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there are some men here who would see that the souls of men are more valuable than a career? Would to God there be some young men here who would see that the highest calling is not to be a the highest calling is not to be a university lecturer, not to be a business member, the highest calling in the entire universe is to be a preacher of the gospel. Would to God there be some young men and young women this morning who would see that far more precious than having a full bank account and far more precious than having a huge amount of wealth simply to pass out of this life and leave it all behind is to have some precious souls that you can reach for Christ, some souls that will be eternity in heaven. Oh, would to God there be some young people who would say the treasures in heaven are more important to me than the treasures on earth. Listen to me, young men, the attitude should not be, listen, if all of my career options fail, then I'll consider the ministry. No, you should come down here this afternoon and beg God and beg God and beg God and say, make me a preacher, make me a preacher, make me a preacher.
There's no high calling. Your nation needs. Listen, people are dying without Christ. Listen to me. Don't buy into the lie that material prosperity is the answer to all your problems. In Australia, young people like you can get jobs where they earn probably the equivalent of 3,000 city per week, and we have more young people suiciding in Australia than any other place in the world. Money does not bring happiness, and there are young people in our nation that are destroying their lives. Don't buy into the lie that if you just have money, you'll be happy. Listen, my nation is going to hell without Christ on a sea of money. And one thing, young men, that you have in this country that we don't have in our country is you can go out onto the streets and you could spend all day, every day, and witness to people and they will listen to the gospel. Don't ever take for granted that people in this nation will listen to the gospel.
Yeah.
When our church goes witnessing on a Saturday morning in Australia, we go out and we send teams out to knock on doors to present the gospel. If we get to have one opportunity, one good opportunity to speak to someone about the gospel, we come away rejoicing. Would to God there be some people in this room who would see what an opportunity you have. It may not always be here. There's an opportunity right now in this nation to share the gospel and share the gospel. Listen, don't take for granted the opportunity you have at this time.
Yes. Oh, no, that's
So we see the compassion of Christ. Notice secondly the instruction of Christ, verse
37.
Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few.
Now see in this chapter there, O church one of Johnson, but you might have the what's wrong.
Here our Lord Jesus gives us some instruction about the harvest field. We know two things about the harvest field the Lord draws our attention to in this verse. Firstly, he speaks about the size of the harvest. And then he speaks about the shortage of laborers. He says the harvest truly is plenteous. The problem is not a harvest problem, it's a labor problem. Sometimes we wrongly act as if there's really no one who will listen to us, and you know, it's very hard to witness. Listen, the problem from the lips of our Lord here is not a harvest problem, it's a labor shortage problem. Have you ever thought about the size of the harvest? A country like China with 1.3 billion people. A country like India with 1.2 billion people.
India,
closest to home, the continent of Africa, 1.2 billion people.
The marathon in Africa,
and guess what? Those 1.2 billion people, the solution's not just going to come from missionaries coming from overseas. It's going to come from men and women in rooms like this who say, God, I'm willing, I'm willing, I'm willing, I'm willing. God, give me a burden for this continent called Africa. What about Ghana? According to the internet, according to latest reports as of July 2019, there are 30.4 million people in Ghana.
Ghana. 2,405
babies born every day in Ghana. And most of those little children, if there are no preachers, if there are no men who will preach the truth, most of those little children are going to grow up and go through life and die and go to a devil's hell because there's no one to tell them the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus. Oh, how Romans 10 reminds us, how shall they hear without a preacher? The answer to that question is obvious. They won't hear without a preacher. God needs preachers. God needs preachers. God needs preachers. And would to God there be some young men in the room this afternoon who would come and kneel down and say, Lord, more than being a career man, more than being a university man, more than being a businessman, Lord, would you make me a preacher? Would you make me a preacher? Would you make me a preacher?
Do
you know how many people died in Ghana yesterday?
600.
Approximately 600 people die in this nation every day. How many of that 600 yesterday went to hell? How many of the 600 today will go to hell? How many of the approximately 600 tomorrow are going to go to hell? Or is there going to be someone in here who's going to say, God, would you make me a preacher? God, would you make me a preacher? God, would you make me a soul winner? God, would you make me a soul winner? Lord, help me to be a soul winner. What about you young ladies? You can't be preachers, but you could get on your knees and say, God, by your help and by your grace, I'll be a personal soul winner. I'll share the gospel. I'll give out a gospel track. I'll be a part of the Saturday soul winning program. Or Tuesday, whichever one you, whichever day you.
And also banana, yogurt,
tea. How many of you are involved in your church in soul winning? Pastors, do you have a soul winning outreach ministry in your church? Listen, I'm not trying to speak out of pride here, but if a church like ours in a difficult place like Australia can send teams out and go and knock on doors and have them slammed in our faces for a whole hour and maybe going to get one or two brief opportunities because we're burdened about the people of our country, how much more can you hear when you have people who will listen, who will listen? You have such an opportunity. Why is it the churches aren't soul winning? If you're a pastor, let me just remind you this afternoon that one of your qualifications is that you are to do the work of an evangelist. Paul instructed Timothy as a young pastor in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, do the work of an evangelist. You're not an evangelist, but you're to do the work of an evangelist.
Now, Paul instructed Timothy.
You say, I'm a Bible college student. Are you a soul winner? You say, I'm about to graduate. No, I didn't ask that. I said, are you a soul winner? You have no business becoming a pastor until you've learned to be a soul winner. And there comes a time, I understand as a pastor we're busy, there are many needs around us, and there have been times in my church where I felt so busy, but I thought, no, by God's grace, I've got to leave the office and go out there to a dying world and tell someone else about Jesus. Did you know, as we think even further afield about the whole world, that if you could put every lost person, every unsaved person in a single line, it would circle the globe 6 times.
And that in you. Yeah, it would be as the
You know that God could raise up missionaries to other countries out of this room here? You say, oh no, that couldn't be possible. Listen to me, the Great Commission is for everybody. I don't see any exception clauses in the gospel that say we're to go into all the world to preach the gospel, except if you're from this nation. You don't have to worry about that. Who's going to reach Africa for Christ? Will you? You know that Almost two people die every second. One, two, three, four, and then five. Ten people just die. And most of those are going to an eternity without Christ. And while the world dies and goes to hell, you won't surrender to the call of God. And while the world dies and goes to hell, you won't surrender to be a preacher. Listen, I understand that God doesn't call every single person to be a preacher, but surely the starting point this afternoon would be at least to say, God, I'm willing if you want me to. I'm willing if you want me to. Lord, I lay my entire life on the altar. Total surrender. In my own country, in Australia, about 216 people died today. My nation needs Christ.
In Australia, we need Christ.
The world needs the gospel. And so our Lord talks about the harvest field. He gives us some instruction about the harvest field, and he talks about the size of the harvest field. You say, how wide and how broad is the mission of the church? Answer, the world. Every independent, local, Bible-believing church is called by God to be engaged in worldwide evangelism. As it says in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world." Listen, we are all to be involved in worldwide evangelism. And here's what the verse says: the harvest is plenteous. He talks about the size of the harvest field. It's enormous. It's huge. There's so many to reach. And then we have this little word, but. The laborers are few. Many people to reach, but so few laborers. Where are the laborers? Hey, listen, it's not just about those who are called to full-time Christian service as missionaries and pastors. What about faithful church members who would leave the comfort of their homes and their routine and do something for the cause of the gospel? How about some young people who would take some tracts with them and give them out to their friends at school and give them out to their family and be a witness for Christ? Can you imagine if every person who is here today went back home to their areas with a fire, with a burden for the gospel, and began to share the gospel and to give out tracts and to tell others about the Lord Jesus? Can you imagine what a fire could be lit in this area for the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, witnessing is not just for the pastor, it's for you. Witnessing is not just for the assistant pastor, it's for you. How should they hear without a preacher? The laborers are few. We come thirdly now to the petition of Christ, verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth labourers into his harvest. You say, Pastor, what are we going to do about this labour shortage? What are we going to do about this huge need of worldwide missions? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ himself gives us the answer. There is something we can do about this problem. What is our Lord Jesus' solution to the great need of the harvest field? It's this. He says, pray that God will raise up labourers and send them forth into the harvest field. Could it be that the reason there is such a shortage of labourers today is because we have prayerless churches that aren't really seeking God for labourers? You say there's not enough labourers for our nation. How about having a special prayer meeting and just simply getting together and pleading with God, Lord, we need labourers for Ghana, we need preachers, we need pastors' wives. Lord, raise up labourers for the harvest field. Yeah. And guess what? When you begin to pray that way, God will answer. Because God, listen to me, if God, sometimes we pray for things that are just our desires and we have no assurance that God will answer that. But if the Lord Jesus Christ has said, I want you to pray for this, I want you to pray for this, I want you to pray for this, we can pray and know that God will answer. This is something that's on his heart. And the labourers will begin to come, not because you're simply praying for others to be raised up, but when you really start to draw in close to the heart of God, and you begin to pray for labourers, you're going to start hearing a call, who shall I send, and who will go for us? And it could be that as you pray for labourers, the Spirit of God may start to touch your heart and say, what about you? 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 And listen, this afternoon, we should be like Isaiah, who in Isaiah chapter 6, when he heard this call, when he heard this voice, this burden upon the heart of Almighty God, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Aren't you thankful for a man like Isaiah who said, Lord, here am I, send me. And would that to God there would be some young men this afternoon who would say, God, I hear the call. Lord, I put my hand up. Here am I, Lord, send me. My challenge to you this afternoon is, which of you are going to come forward at the end of this service and say with all your heart, Lord, I don't know if this is your will or not, but I'm ready, Lord. I can see there's a need. My nation needs the gospel. My nation's on the way to hell. Lord, here am I. Send me. Where are the young ladies who are going to come forward and say, Lord, I'm willing to be a pastor's wife, I'm willing to be an evangelist wife, I'm willing to serve you, Lord? Could we not all come forward, as it were, this morning and bow the knee and say, Lord, help us to be a witness. Lord, I haven't been a witness for you. I'm not involved in soul winning. Maybe there's a pastor here who needs to come forward and humble himself and say, Lord, I've been slack and lazy in this area and I haven't realised the opportunity, but Lord, help me to be a soul winner. By your grace, I will be. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That phrase, send forth, is very strong, has the idea of being thrust forward, being pushed out. And that's what we need this afternoon, is for God to get a hold of some hearts and so set them on fire to him and then send them forth with the power of God to reach this nation for Christ. And so please, when the Lord Jesus instructs us to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers, don't take that and have the attitude, Lord, please send that person across the room. Lord, send others, but not me. No, your attitude should be, Lord, send others, and if you're willing, if it's your will, send me too. Here am I. Send me. Who's going to come forward and say, Lord, here am I. Please send me. Like I said earlier, I'll say it again. Listen, young men, your desire should not be after money and a career. Would to God you come and kneel here and say, God, make me a man of God. Make me a preacher. Make me a soul winner. Lord, if you would use me, I'm available. Take me. Use me. Who's going to say yes to the Holy Spirit of God this afternoon? Who's going to say yes to the knocking of God on your heart's door? Here am I. Send me. Let's bow for prayer.
Gentlemen, please.